So our scripture, I have two different scriptures I'm going to read from today. The first one's Proverbs, it's chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then from John 16, 12 through 15. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Or the heights beside the way at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance to the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O man, I call, and my cry is to be the children of man. And so pay attention, that understand is kind of the key point in that verse. And then from John, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you, all that the Father has in mind. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine, and I declare it to you. So I call this the Spirit of truth, and I, as I spoke in the children's story, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So one of the books I had for class this last time, we were doing a history, sort of history of the church, but it was specifically about the Methodist Church. Then in the 1950s, churches kind of got away from talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, things change and go, and I don't know if I've just noticed it more, but it seems like I'm talking more about the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if I took that in class and then drug it forward to say, well, maybe I don't talk about that enough. For us, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth and revelation. And revelation is just making things known to us. So by definition, revelation is going to be kind of a progressive process. And what he's saying, what John is saying in this is that at whatever point you are in your life, we only have the capability to only understand so much. So I was reading one of the cartoons this morning, and the little kid, I don't remember which one it was, but I read three newspapers in one day, so this could have been any of the last 3 days. And he was going like this to his head. And his sister said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to knock out all the stuff I learned in school to make room for the stuff I have for this summer. And she says, let me go get Dad's mallet hammer. I'll be right back. But we can only absorb so much information at one time. And then that's all we can take for one time. And so what John is saying in here is Jesus can't tell us everything in the whole entire world at one time because we just don't have the ability to comprehend it. We either not in the right place in our relationship with the Lord, or we just don't have the ability at that time for whatever's going on in our life. So I've got two examples. So this is an Old Testament example. This one's always bothered me, that as the Jewish people came into these regions, God would always tell them to kill and get everybody out of there. And the reason he told them that, he knew they did not have the power to stay away from becoming, letting whatever religions were there taint the Jewish religion. And you could say, oh no, that's not true. People are strong enough to do that. And you can go through the Old Testament and time after time after time, if they didn't do that, then the next thing you knew, the men were marrying the women from the area and they would take whatever their religion was and talk the men into not following God and following whatever pagan religion they were doing. And so that was exactly true. I mean, that happened if they didn't do that. Now for us, that seems really harsh because those people had to be eliminated. And so I don't know about you guys, but that always bothers me when I read that. And there are a lot of Old Testament stories where that happens. Now in the New Testament, we don't see that happening, but the difference is Jesus Christ. Because with his presence, he makes it possible that we don't have to harm, kill, drive those people away, but we can convert them to the true God. And so it's a difference. So for us, we don't have to drive everybody off the face of the earth that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is strong enough, powerful enough, that once those people hear the message, they can be converted. And so it's different. That spirit of truth is alive there. Now there's no end to what God is going to try to tell us. And so one of the things when I was reading the commentary, he said to be careful of, don't base everything on what you read in the Bible, because basically none of the Bible stories were written after about 120 AD. Now, you can get different versions. I mean, somebody might read a verse and change the wording, and you might think it means something a little less. You can read a book that you've never read before, and you thought, oh, yeah, I understand what that means now. But the basic writing is still 2,000 years old. The last of those that stories that were then written down as what became part of our Bible is a little over 2,000 years old. But I would say that God is continuing to reveal stuff to us in a lot of different ways. So we have this revelation of truth that God continues to give us, but it's not just religious truth. And so when I was thinking about this last week, I don't know. I took chemistry in high school. I wasn't very good. But if you remember, you had a periodic chart. Okay, all the science teachers can come back now. We had those periodic charts, and it was supposedly every element in the whole entire world, right? And I don't remember how many there were, but I do remember that I had to know what every symbol was, and I had to remember what it was, and I had to remember all 96 or whatever there was elements. Well, then my oldest daughter's in high school. She's in chemistry. I go, oh, look, there's the periodic table of elements. Except now there's more on there than I remember from high school. Now, element by definition means it's something that can't be, I mean, it is what it is. It's not a combination of things. It's just what it is. Which meant it didn't get created in theory. It always existed. But man didn't know what it was, didn't recognize it. Well, I think that's a really good definition of God's revelation to us. It's things that are out there that have always been out there. We just didn't know it was out there. So when we prayed for a miracle day, I think there's miracles all over the place. The problem is sometimes miracles become so commonplace that we don't recognize them as miracles. So my grandma died in 1989. She was 94. She never flew on a plane. She could have flown on a plane, but she wouldn't fly on a plane. Not the same thing. So one day she was going to Florida. She took a bus. I said, you know, they have airplanes that will drive, that will fly you there. She told me if God meant me to fly, I'd have feathers and wings. I told her, God doesn't mean for you to drive 75 miles an hour down a highway in a car, but yet you do that. She goes, that's different. Okay? So she had the ability to do other things. She wouldn't choose them. So she never flew, wasn't going to. But that, to me, is a miracle. Now, I was in a seminar this week, and the guy was talking about things in your life based on your age that you remember that defined your age group, like millennials and geezers, I mean, people like me at my age. And so for us, how many of you remember watching Man Walk on the Moon, literally watching them on TV that day? Okay, if you're younger, you don't. It really happened, though. It wasn't just in a movie, okay? But each of us have those things in our lives that would seem almost impossible to my grandma. She was born in like 1904, I think. It would have seemed almost impossible that someone could walk on the moon. Although when she was born, they weren't really flying either, which that apparently was impossible to her since she never did it. Okay? But each of us in our lives have those things that happen, but yet the ability to go to the moon was always there. Now we have people that wrote music that's beautiful music that we still play today that's hundreds of years old. And it's amazing the way they write them. So at the convention I was at this week, one of the guys was from Vincennes, Indiana. And some of you will know Red Skelton. He was a comedian, but he also wrote music. He's also an artist, did lots of pictures and paintings. And he wrote an orchestra piece, and this guy played the cello. And he was going to perform with Red Skelton in Vincennes, and one of the things that we're going to do was play this piece that Red Skelton wrote. And so those of us who know him, and if you don't, go Google him. He was a tremendously funny guy from Indiana. And he wrote this part, and the guy said, I practiced and practiced it. He said, I never could play it. And he said, I thought I was a pretty good cello player. So finally, the guy directing the orchestra said, I know this is really hard. He said, just go from the top of the string to the bottom real fast, and no one will ever know you didn't really play it. And so even though he could write that piece of music, it wasn't able to be played, at least not by that guy. And so we still enjoy music that people wrote hundreds of years ago, just as we enjoy music that people write today. Those notes are still out there. We might have different instruments or different abilities to play different things, but music is music. People write wonderful things to read, whether they're books or poetry. They're not really inventing new words, although the dictionary adds a few every year. They're not really inventing new words, but they've been inspired somehow to write something that touches our soul in a way that somebody before them didn't have that ability to do that. And we talked about physicians last week. So when I was thinking about this today, Judy was walking down the stairs, so I didn't tell her I was going to tell this story on her. Judy was walking down the stairs, and I was thinking, boy, I hope she doesn't fall and break her wrist again. But she doesn't even act like her wrist bothers her. And that was like 6 months ago? January? And somehow they were able to fix it? Do you know when it's going to rain? Is it going to rain today? No, she doesn't know. But they were able to fix it. I talked about Benita having her knee totally replaced and 2 hours later walking down the hallway. And even 50 or 100 years ago, people would have thought that would have been impossible. I went to high school with a guy who had his knee operated on. They put him in a cast for 6 weeks. They've totally changed the way they do that. The knees aren't any different. They got the same stuff in them. Somebody invented the artificial knee because that wasn't there before. Our bodies are relatively the same, but somehow those physicians, those people that invent those devices, are inspired in a way to make them see a possibility that was really always there, but nobody saw it before. And so when we talked about miracles, I think all those things are miracles. Because it didn't have to be many years before now, that if you said, oh yeah, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut your knee from here to here. I'm going to take out all the old parts. I'm going to slap in some metal and plastic. And then 6 weeks from now, because I made her do this weekend, we walked about 4 blocks in Indianapolis from just west of Lucas Oil down to the Slippery Noodle, which she kept asking me all the way how much farther it was. And I said, it was 4 blocks when we started. It's 4 blocks until we get there, okay? She goes, well, these seem like long blocks. They are what they are. There's the building right there. There's where we're going. And so it's been 6 weeks. So 6 weeks later, she walked the floor 4 blocks down there, which she said was at least 8 real blocks, and she walked back. But before the surgery, it would have been very hard for her to walk that because her knee just bothered her so much. And so we don't consider those miracles. I would say the Holy Spirit that we don't see helps whoever invented those, or whether it was a group or a person, and see different ways of doing surgeries that people can mend faster and can come back from things that seem almost impossible to us, that create airplanes that can fly at a zillion miles an hour. Every time I see an airplane that I'm getting on, I go, how can something that big get off the ground? It's amazing to me. So this is for all the Purdue grads. It always worries me that some Purdue grads, probably the guy who engineered it, because I'm a little questionable about them. Okay, this is my hit on Purdue grads for a minute, okay? Sorry. Everybody has bias, that's mine. Next time you're getting on a plane, though, you're all gonna think about that, okay? But it's amazing how people can do those things and invent those things. And something comes to their mind that they say, oh, you know what? I bet you can do this. So my very first job in the bank, they walked us into the computer room. It was as big as this whole area up here. It sat this high off the ground because it had 9,000 cables running under it. And it was like being in a cooler because it got so warm they kept it at like 60 degrees. Okay? I bet my phone can do more stuff than that computer could do. And it doesn't have any reel-to-reel tapes like that one did, or any floppy drives and stuff that people in here are going, I don't even know what he's talking about. But it's changed that much in 50 years. And we don't even think about it because it happens a little bit at a time. The first phones were this big in a suitcase bag. They cost $1,100 and they only did one thing. They made phone calls. Get the most expensive iPhone you can get in the whole world, pay less than that, and it almost would make dinner for you if you'd let it. But it changes, and because it happens a little bit at a time, we don't notice it. I think that's this Holy Spirit working in the world. And so all this stuff's from God. Because man does not invent stuff. We take what God gives us, and He guides and directs us. He gives us vision on things you could never think of. And so I bet we've all done this. We've been working on something, and it's just not quite going right. And then all of a sudden you go, you know what? I could do this, and I bet it would work better. So, and when I say help, this means very loosely. My daughter has finished, I only got to work on part of it, a swing set for the boys. And it had a platform. And we were putting the platform in, and it was like 1.5-inch wood slots. And you had to put 22 of them in the base to make the whole platform. And when we got them all together, we needed another 1/2-inch. And one guy gets up there and he stands on them. I go, you can stand on them all you want. It's not going to get smaller 1/2-inch. So I'm sitting there and we're trying to figure it out. And I said, you know what? We could just loosen all the screws and make this looser, fit them in, and then tighten the screws before it pops out. You know what? It worked. I am like the worst builder in the whole entire world. That had to be God-inspired. I would have never come up with that on my own. My neighbor comes over to my house one day and she said, she is really handy. She put in a new garbage disposal, but now her dishwasher won't drain. I said to her, did you take the plug out of the garbage disposal that hooked to the drain of the dishwasher? She said, I didn't. So she came back later and she said, how did you know that? It works now. And I go, I have no idea, because I've never done that. I wouldn't even try. Because it would have been a disaster. But God inspires us those ways. And the question is, do we recognize it? Or do you just think, oh, I'm so smart I came up with that. We don't really invent anything. Everything is a gift from God. Some of us are just more open or closed, depending on which way you're going, to being able to listen to that Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. The thing is, we never get to where we know everything. We are always going to continue to be learning, God guiding us, God directing us, if, this is the big if we're willing to be open and listening. So all those stories were to tell you the most important part of this, okay? The way that we hear the Holy Spirit, the way it guides and directs us, is totally based on how close a relationship we have with the Lord. And so when people say, oh yeah, I know who Jesus is, usually when they say that, that's code for, I know who he is, but I don't go to church, I'm not going to church, and even though I know who he is, I'm not becoming like a close personal friend. They're not going to be led by that Holy Spirit because they'll never recognize it. They won't hear that voice. They won't hear those suggestions. They won't hear that way to change heart surgery. So instead of a person being in the hospital for weeks, they leave the next day. Because they're not open to the way that God is trying to lead them. And so for us, what we want to do is get as close as relationship as possible. And there's lots of ways to do that. Coming to church and having fellowship with other Christians is one way. Reading the Bible is a way. Reading different Bibles sometimes is more helpful because if we read the same thing, sometimes we don't catch a meaning that was always there and we just didn't get it. I did a Bible study one time And there was seven or eight of us there, and everybody had a different Bible. And so what we would do is we'd kind of take turns reading, but we'd read a passage. And then what I said is, if your passage you think is substantially different than the one we just read, read it to us and we'll think about what it's different. And so sometimes they would be pretty similar, but sometimes they would use a different word, and the word really made a lot of difference. And so when you have these translations of the Bible, and there's hundreds of them out there, it's good sometimes to read different ones, because it'll be a different way. When I read Proverbs today, that key word in Proverbs is for us to understand. We know because we understand. The version, the Bible I have, does not have the word understand in it. It uses a different word. But I think understand in that particular verse is the most important part. And so I'd recommend that you read different versions. Sometimes the easiest way to do that's online. The Bible study thing I have, there's like 10 different versions of the Bible, and I can change them anytime I want to by just going up there and hitting a button, and it'll give me a different version. And I said, but read those different versions. I struggle with King James because I am not very good with Old English. If start to have too many these and thous, they start to lose me. I start to lose interest. But it's good every once in a while to go back and read it, because it's just a different way of speaking that they have. And so for us, what we want to do is become closer and closer to Jesus, so that when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, we hear it. And maybe more importantly, we understand what it's trying to get us to do, or sometimes not to do, depending on where we're at in our life, to try to make the right decision, to try to understand, that key word for me in this, try to understand what we're being asked to do, what we're being led to do. And just because you have an understanding of X today doesn't mean that if the same set of circumstances came weeks later, months, or years later, you might have a totally different understanding, because God is continually revealing to us what He wants us to know. We're just not always ready to hear everything at one time. And that's really what this is about. Finding a way to become closer and closer to the Lord, so that as those messages are coming to you, whether you read them, whether someone's put in your life that's trying to lead you, and you don't want to be led by them, because you don't think what they're telling you is what you're supposed to be hearing at that time, or maybe what they're telling you to correct, some activity you're doing isn't what you want to have corrected at that time. We need that relationship to be close enough so we know whether it's true or whether it's false. We're going to finish up on the book of Revelation, which is John's story that he was relating to us from Jesus and from God. And the most important part of that is, and so I'd recommend, you know, everyone to read it. And I would say you're going to have to read it more than once to understand it. Maybe you have to read it 100 times to understand that there's a lot of stuff going on there. But one of the things that is kind of a theme is that you know who the true Lord is, that you don't get misled into believing a false Lord. Well, that's part of this. As we become closer and closer to the Lord, we'll recognize the truth. We'll see the truth. We'll feel the truth, because we have that kind of relationship. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we can come together this day. Let us become stronger and stronger in You, so that what You want to reveal to us in all of our lives, how You want us to be led and guided, becomes so clear to us that we can see the path as clear as day. Be with all of us as we go out into Your world. Amen.